nowadays from people who are looking to write talmidim as suggestions for their daughters. Lots of questions that they ask, questions that are very logical, very rational, make a lot of sense to me. And some I have no idea how to answer the question. I have no idea what they're even looking for. Would you say that he's Wayu Machmir? Wayu Machmir. I'm like, Wayu Machmir? Are you asking me if he's Machmir Psak Alecha specifically within the context of the Wayu Lisha Yeshiva? No, he drinks milk. I've seen him drink milk before. He's not that Machmir. Not that Machmir. What is this? So many distinctions. It's going to be Wayu Mikl and then centrist Wayu and Wayu Machmir Chazamish. Pirudim, Pirudim. More and more distinctions. More. Because we need to classify every single individual in Christ onto their own unique little dot on this box. To be honest, though, I don't necessarily blame people. Even within this Beis Medrash, it's confusing. There are lots of different drachim, different emphases. As much as we like to emphasize the things that overwhelming majority make us the same, that's for sure true. Still, different dachelimud, different tam here or there. Sometimes even different ways of living, different emphases in Avodas Hashem. And how do we deal with those distinctions? So I want to show Gemara Sukkandaf on Ravav Madaf. The Gemara describes, based on the Mishnah, an Esrog Kushi. The Mishnah says the Esrog Kushi is possible. This is an Esrog Shachor that grows in Kush, presumably. The Mishnah says it's possible. Gemara poses a Kasha. For Atanya, doesn't it say in a Brisa, Kushi Kasher? And Esrog Kushi is really Kasher. And only Doma the Kushi possible. That which is akin to Esrog Kushi is possible. We'll describe what that means in a moment. Amar Abai comes along and says, "Einachanami kitna nami masnisin doma lekushi kana." When the Mishnah said that the Esrog Kushi is possible, it's only referring to that which is doma lekushi. What's the explanation? Says Rashi that an Esrog that grows in Kush and looks like an Esrog Kushi, kasher the mahadrin, it's mahudr, it's beautiful, kasher. The only problem is when the Esrog is growing somewhere else, not in Kush, but looks like it grew in Kush. That's what makes it possible. Shenidmehu, counterfeit, alas. Pretty sure you recognize that. Counterfeit, it's a fake. It looks like a groom kush, but it didn't actually grow in kush. About kushi, that's not how time to kush. That's fine. There's no problem with the Esrog Kushi, as long as it actually is real, not counterfeit. Chassam Sofer darshans this, based on the Chidush of the Haflah, his Rebbe, of Pinchas Horowitz. And the Haflah said that this refers, in a deeper level, to the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Gemara of Brachos. Famously, on Daf Lamed Hey, the Tanaim argue about what the proper derech is in Yiddishkeit. Should it be all Torah, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Torah, Torah? If you engage in derech eretz, when you ever have time to learn Torah? Or, according to Rabbi Shimon, should you engage in derech eretz and learn when you have time? And Abaye, same Abaye, says in that Gemara, that how did Asukri Rabbi Shimon but also be other? It worked for them when they tried. But how did Asukri Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai below us? When people tried to be like Rabbi Shimon, it didn't work. Says the Afla, why didn't it work? It's not because it's hard to be like Rabbi Shimon. It's only hard to be like Rabbi Shimon when you're not actually Rabbi Shimon. When it's kid Rabbi Shimon. I'm trying to imitate Rabbi Shimon when I'm not actually supposed to be Rabbi Shimon. When I'm a counterfeit. When I'm misdameh to that which I'm not actually. I put on a facade, pretend to be something that I'm not. That's what makes you possible. Be what you are. If you're an Esrog Kushi, then be an Esrog Kushi. And if you're not an Esrog Kushi, then don't be an Esrog Kushi. As long as it's your derech, and as long as you have a mahalach, that's what you need to do when you're a mahodah. As soon as you start faking and pretending to be something that you're not, and borrowing and pretending to be of a different derech, that's what makes you into tarogas, makes you into kalayim, it makes you into taleva. The Rambam says in the Hilchos Mizbeach Paragimel that one of the biggest psulim, one of the biggest movement is an animal that looks like a different animal. It was born, let's say, one animal, but it looks like a different one. Says the Rambam, it's a psul. It's a mum kavua. She'encha mum kavua gadol min hashin. A counterfeit is one of the biggest psulim you can have. The faker who pretends to be something that they're not. It's a psul. So there are very important lessons that come from this Chassam Sofer. One, which is not what we're going to emphasize tonight, but it is important, to be confident in your derech. You have a Rebbe, you have a derech that you've received, you have a community. Instead of constantly trying to pretend and cover up and pretend certain things that make you distinct from other members of Christ. So stand up pride for your derech. Don't be a counterfeit. Don't be a faker. If this is the esrog that you have and this is what your esrog looks like, then be proud of that esrog. Stop trying to hide it. You selectively hold certain parts of the esrog to hide the little moon that you don't want other people to see. But choose what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the other side of the coin. The people who insist that every esrog needs to look like theirs. If your esrog doesn't look like mine, it's possible. It looks terrible. This is not the way I learn. This is not the way that I speak. This is not the way that I dress. This is not the way that I go about life. And if you're not like me, pasul. Not nevodur, disgusting esrog. Spitting on every other esrog that they see that's not like theirs. And if we're trying to connect with anybody, everybody in every community is at some point guilty of this. We're trying to make everybody into a counterfeit. We want everybody to look like you. Can't be that anybody possibly has a different derech than what I have. It needs to be mine, and if it's not mine, it's possible. But it's Sid famously says in his Hakdama to the Hanadavar, in Bereshis, he says the definition of yashrus, of a yashar, is somebody who understands that there's a variety in this world, that there's a broad array of personalities and different people. All of them, it's worthwhile treating with respect, covered, and shalom. And the definition of somebody who is not a yashar is the person who fails to understand that. Says the Mitzvah, what went wrong with Bayit Sheni? Why did Chorban Bayit Sheni happen? We all know because of Sin Aschinim. The Mitzvah says there was Gedolei Torah, there was Amilus B'Torah, people were learning, they were shtagging. Shem Tzadikim B'chasidim B'amalei Torah, Ach, Lohar Yisharim B'Adi Chosom. They were not Yisharim. The Mitzvah Aschinim Shabudim Zadzeh Choshtu Es Mi Sharon Shemir Shemol Kedaitam B'Yiras Hashem. If you're not like my Mahalach in Yiddishkeit, you're not like my Derech, not my Derech Olimud, not my way, this is not the way that I do things in Yiddishkeit. Tzaduki Vapikolos. Hasel. You're a Tzaduki. Why did the Vashichas Damim Lechman Atzlan? And that's the reason why the Chorban Bayis was destroyed, says the Mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yashahu Ve'eno Sobel Tzadikim Ke'im. Listen to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand Tzadikim like this. He doesn't want a part of these Tzadikim who insist that every person who's different than them is a Tzaduki Rappi Koryos. Eno Sobel Tzadikim Ke'im. I had a story that happened to me where I was in Muncie for Yontif, for Sukkot, and I ended up in the Biyana Koryos. Don't ask the details of that story. That's where I ended up. Okay. So I'm there for a very long, beautiful chakras. And I'm there with my Dalminim. I'm wearing my kippah sugan. I'm wearing my techelas. And at the end of Oshanas, a chassid comes up to me and says, Rabir, can I see your esrog? And I immediately hold it close to my chest. Why? My immediate reaction is to recoil. Because I'm so used to everybody scrutinizing and staring at every single little less bletlach that I have. Both literal esrogan and figurative esrogan. Constantly judging, scrutinizing, this is wrong and that's wrong, and constantly complaining about every single little aspect of my avodah Hashem that's different than somebody else's, that I automatically get, I freeze up. I didn't want him to look at it. He saw how nervous I was, so he smiled at me. He took the esrogan in my hands, looked at it for a second, kissed it, and he gave it back to me. And he said one of two things. I don't remember exactly what he said. He either said, beautiful esrog of a yid, or esrog of a beautiful yid. Either way, I got the message that he was trying to give me. I'll be scrutinizing every single little last distinction. He's a very different esrog than I am in every single way on the outside. Ultimately, we do share much more in common. But even the outside of the bush, he's a beautiful esrog. And I could be a beautiful esrog also. Different esrogim, different drachim. All of them are kosher in the hood. Rav Luchatzin has a chapter in Bayis Light where he's doing an analysis of centrist orthodoxy. It's a beautiful chapter. Everybody should read it. Chapter 12, I think. And he has a line in there where he's talking about with much passion why his derech, he thinks, is correct for him and has many strengths that other drachim don't have. You can read the entire chapter. But then he says this. I am no way intimating that the vision of life cannot be attained otherwise, or that one cannot be Yerush Shemayim or Tam Lakakam without it, without his derech of literature and engagement in secular studies, and all the other things that he gives over there. I am generally opposed to positing a single mold as the sole model for Avodas Hashem, and I submit that word up to me, one could receive rabbinic ordination from Ritz, even if, like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he did not have a B.A. Somebody who was very, very confident in his derech, knew exactly what he thought was best for his Talmidim, for his community, saw strengths in his derech, and was totally willing to acknowledge that people outside of his derech also can be great and mehudr and beautiful. It's sort of true when it comes to Kli Yisrael always. There are lots of different Durachim and Avodas Hashem, and it can sometimes get confusing which Durachim are valid, which Durachim are not valid. That's part of the reason why we should have relationships with Rebbeim, where we discuss these types of things. You're supposed to ask Rebbeim what they think in terms of how you should view the totality of Kli Yisrael. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to give an oversimplified rule of thumb. If a Jew in his or her community is standing around Har Sinai, looking towards the Shekhinah Kedoshah, and waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down, and they're ready to say, Nasa v'nishma b'kol kokom b'kol emunah, that whatever is contained within this Torah, HaKadosha, I will fulfill. My life is Torah. Whatever the Torah has to say, that is what I'm willing to do. They can have a lot of different levushim. They can have a lot of different turachim. Ultimately, if the tafkid of a person's life is Ratzon Hashem, the person is kasher, he or she is mehoder, a beautiful yid with a beautiful esrei. There's nothing else that you can ask for. I don't care if he's wearing a shtraimel, a kapata, black and white, colored shirts, chas v'shalom. By the way, polo shirts are possible. That's apikorsis. Don't do that. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. We're so obsessed with all the little points on the outside, all the little blood left that we can see in everybody else. I want to talk a little more about for a second. Okay, I apologize, I spoke about this a little bit last week, but we'll go a little more into detail. We finished this Zman Avilus for Talmid Rabbi Akiva. Classic question that everybody asks when it comes to the Talmid Rabbi Akiva is, as the Gemara Yevamos tells us, they weren't showing cover to each other, that's the reason why they don't. Seriously, Rabbi Akiva? These are the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. The key to Kol Torah Kuvah is loving one's friends like yourself. How could it be that he's the only Talmidim are the ones who are guilty of ignoring that premise? Some beautiful answers given to this question. Maybe this is where Rabbi Akiva got the mantra from. Where do you think he got it from? After what happened to his Talmidim, he realized how important it was. But the question doesn't really even get off the ground. I was talking to one of my Chavirim, Rav Meir Goodman Shlita, and he noted that it's pasha, not even a question. Because Ava is not covered, and covered is not Ava. They're literally two different words. They mean two different things. And perhaps I might add, the mistake that Talmidim Rabbi Akiva made was assuming that they are the same thing. That Ava does equal covered. And that if I do love my friend self, that is being yotzei, the concept of kavod for my chaviri. And it's not true. Just look at the Mamre Chazal about kavod. The same Gemara Yevamos, the Daf Samad Beis, says that we're obligated to treat our wives like, love our wives like ourselves. The Raman passes this in Hilchos Ishus Perek Tesvav, that you should be always ishto kagufo, but mechavda yosei lehi, to respect her more than yourself. More kavod than you deserve. Famous Mishnah and Avos, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. What does he say? Kavod chavercha kemor rabcha. That the kavod of your fellow should be as serious to you as the more the yira and the eima, the fear that you have for one your rabbi. The fear that you have for a teacher, the sense of awe and reverence that you have, that should translate into the kavod that you have for your friend. It's more than what you have for yourself. Kavod tamidcha should be shelach. But the kavod of your chavah should be even more. But avah is always like yourself. Kamocha. You should love your wife like you love yourself. Why is it that Abba is limited to the guf, kegufo, as opposed to the cover which goes beyond? So Rebbe brought it out. It's Pasha based off the Gemara of Shari Yoshi. Shimon Shkap explains explicitly. He says that Kadosh Baruch Hu always demands that Abba should be like ourselves. Ultimately, we pass and that you come first. He says that Kadosh Baruch Hu ingrained in us a very strong desire of self-love. We love ourselves. And it's very difficult to love somebody else more than you love yourself. It's ingrained from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Shimon, what's the way to solve that issue? On one end, to love everybody else and to do everything on behalf of everybody else. On the other hand, the fact that Hayecha Kodman, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, clearly wants you to be interested in yourself. That's why he gave you the Netiyah. Says Rav Shimon, you expand the Ani. Easy. What does Ani mean? Does it mean me? Does it mean my family? Does it mean my community? My Chavirim? Does it mean Klal Yisrael? And as soon as you expand the Ani, everybody becomes a part of you. Kiguf echad. All of Klal Yisrael becomes like one guf that, of course, I'm concerned about them just as much as I'm concerned about myself. They are me. They are goofy. My wife is goofy. She is not distinct from me. My ani corresponds with all of Klal Yisrael. I care about each and every single member of Klal Yisrael. Like I care about myself because they are like myself. But kavod can go beyond that. Kavod is not limited to yourself. Because kavod means that somebody is beyond you, it's beyond the ani. I'm awe and reverence of this person. This person possesses something that I simply don't have. Something that is godless, that I don't understand. And that means that there's something great about this person that goes even beyond myself. And it's easy to be mechabit something that you personally don't possess when you see the godless of another yid. The Gemara Pesachim says this explicitly. Gemara Pesachim says that you're chayim, limud bo kavod, if somebody's godly menu, b'davar achad. Hayadir b'chavir shu godly menu afidu b'davar achad, shechayim limud bo kavod. If somebody has something greater about them than you, the chayiv linug bo kavod, that sense of kavod chavercha kamei rabcha, to appreciate and be in awe of that person beyond that which you have for yourself. Why is it in a coincidence? Who's the author of that Mishnah and others? Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Who's Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua? One of the five Talmidei Rabbi Akiva after Lag BaOmer. after the Gemara Bamas tells us all of his Talmidim perished. Of the five Talmidim that Rabbi Kiva established after that tragedy, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemu was one of those all-star five. He learned the lesson of Kavod. Nogu Kavod Zabazah. Kavod Chabercha Kamor Rav. Obviously, Israel is incredible. Loving other Jews, it's called Gadol B'Torah. It's extremely important, but it has many vulnerabilities when not accompanied with Kavod. There are lots of them. First of all, as we just noted, it can't go beyond yourself. It has to be part of you. Two, loving somebody creates a sense of familiarity. I don't treat myself with respect because I'm a clown. And I'm willing to say things about myself. I'm willing to joke around about myself. And I'm also willing to joke around about the friends that I love most. Usually the people that we take advantage of most are the ones that we love and are closest to us. Because we're honest. I'm not serious about myself. I don't take them seriously either. But it can't be. Mechab de Yosem. The last thing, Ava is particularly vulnerable when there are distinctions between Jews. As soon as I see a different Esrog, as soon as I see something that looks a little different than me, how am I supposed to make this person into my Ani when we're literally doing opposite things? When I have a difficult year in which everybody seems to be going in opposite directions on very, very important things, on Dvarma, Omdim, Merum, Sholom, how on earth am I supposed to incorporate this person into my Ani? How? They're not Ani. They don't feel like me. Nonetheless, the key to Kavod Chavercha, as difficult as this is only seeing something that you can respect about that person. No matter how much things are happening that we don't understand, there's something that our Rosh Yeshiva give time and time again. To be able to respect others in Klal Yisrael, if they're saying Nasa V'Nishma, we can disagree with them as much as we want, and we can be right. Still, Kavod Chavercha Kamor Yavcha. Everybody always asks why it takes tragedies to bring Klal Yisrael together. Why does it take tragedies like this in order to be able to bring Klal Yisrael and make us feel like we're Echad, Ba'achdus, like what Klal Yisrael is experiencing right now? There are probably a lot of different answers to that question. But I was thinking, it's partially based on what Rav Shimon Shkap is saying. But sometimes we need people on the outside, the Sonar Yisrael, to remind us that we're Gofech. There's no distinctions that they make between different types of Jews. We're all the same. And they're not interested in having any of us. And as soon as we get exposed to that Sinner, and we literally are forced into a corner, we are forced together to be Klal Yisrael, to Guf Echad. Because what other choice do you have when everybody else is treating you like Guf Echad? All the internal peridim and distinctions simply fall away. Suddenly now, we have Ava. And all of a sudden now, we have Achdus. And there's some of the people have been noting time and time again whenever Klal Yisrael has been experiencing major tzaddas. Maybe, if we put a little bit more emphasis on Kavod, also, we'd have a concept of respect for other Jews even when we're not experiencing tzaddas. That we would need service of Klal Yisrael in order to have that sense of respect and maybe to facilitate a certain sense of shav internally. Even if it's not going to be ani mamash. This sense of kavod, of showing kavod to the person that's gadol mimenu, or people who have echad, can exist even when the ava is not there and we can admit to ourselves that we're not always the best with loving our fellow Jews and all spectrums. We could love Jews a lot more. We could love Jews in this place, Medrash, a lot more. The ones that are sitting across from you in a different shir from a different yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. When all else fails, at least we can have kavod. To take notice of the things that are better about that person. The gadol mimenu, that which the person has that you should be in awe of and respect, to be able to learn from like one learns from one's web. I want to share with you guys a story. I shared with the Chabad last night. I went through a very rough tikkun for my first 2 years in YU. I spoke about this earlier this year. It was not a pleasant experience for me. And there were many times where I thought I was going to totally throw away everything. When I say that, it makes it sound like I was going to go totally like off, like climbing in the Himalayas or something. Not that bad. But I wasn't sure if Torah was for me. Let's put it that way. And I remember that one of the only things that kept me solid and hooked into this Beis Medrash was what I used to do on Motzei Shabbos. What I used to do on Motzei Shabbos is I would stay in for Shabbos. I used to stay in for Shabbos a lot. And I was miserable, mind you. And what I would do is as soon as Shabbos was out, I would dive in and I would go straight to my dorm room. I would take my computer. And back in the day, the computers were not in the knapsacks. They were in these like briefcases. Mine was like a weird maroon color. And I would take it straight to the Beis Medrash. And I would sit and I would chazer shir. I would chazer my notes from Rosenzweig shir. I took a lot of pride in those notes. I would reorganize, I would rewrite. I put in the makoros. I took a lot of pride in those notes. They really carried me through those years. Something that to this day I'm still very proud of. And I used to put hours in the Beis Medrash on Motzei Shabbos specifically for that avoda. And it kept me. It was something that I was very, very proud of, specifically that fragile tekufa. That was what I needed. And I remember there was one Motzei Shabbos, I was walking down the stairs in Reuben. And there was somebody else who walked past me. This person was not in the same shir as me, lived in a different yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael than me, different derech and avodas Hashem. And he looks at me, And he says, come out with this inflection. Wow, computer's out already. I didn't know after like 2 minutes after Shabbos is out, you already have to have your computer out. Okay, well, like, oh, you're obsessed with your computer. So there were lots of things that were going through my mind when he said that. So one thing I wanted to say is thanks for your impulsive, useless comment. Clearly very well thought out in the 2 seconds that you saw me passing down on the stairs. You probably have no idea that I'm about to I feel like I'm about to fall off an existential cliff and that this computer on Mitzvah Shabbos is the only thing that's holding me in. And I would also like to know that you should probably see the Netziv in his Hakamat HaBereishis. You're a tzaddik. Such a tzaddik. You clearly know exactly what I needed to hear. Your esrog has plenty of its own blemishes. Maybe you should do a little bit of Musar and get rid of that guy. It's not what I said to him. Believe it, I didn't say that to him. I just smiled and said, no, it's practically an extension of my arm at this point. I just take it with me everywhere. Of course I need my computer. And then I went out to the basement and learned for 5 hours and produced notes that I'm still proud of to this day. Instead of questioning my derech because there's somebody who's so insensitive and so stupid and foolish, start making an unsolicited comment about me that he knows nothing about me, I decided that I would just embrace my derech and go do what I do and be proud of what I do. Why are we making comments about other people's Yiddishkeit? What right do you have to make a comment about somebody else's Yiddishkeit when it's a different derech than yours, to mock somebody else's derech in Yiddishkeit? To mock somebody else's derech on Limud? To mock somebody else's approach? What are you? Who are you? You're some Gadol Ador? And guess what? Even if you are the Gadol Ador, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not so good that he can pay. He can't stand people who have that narrow perspective and anybody who's not Saduki, Apikonis, not for me, not for me, not for me. Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot be sold all this. He can't stand it. There are different types of a slogan, and they're all Mu'udar. Yes, there are many different Durachim in this space marriage. There are many different Durachim in the entire world, in Jewish world. As far as I'm concerned, I look around this space marriage, Kulam Ahuvim Kulam Berurim, Kulam Giborim, Kulam Ahuvim Berurim, Kulam Giborim. You can think of the little distinctions about why you machmir and this and that. If the person has a Rebbe, and the person has Ratzon in Yiddishkeit, and he wants to draw close to the Bosham and do the Ratzon Abaray, I don't care. It's an Eslog Mehudah. And it deserves cover and respect. Whether you feel it or not, you look at yourself and start asking yourself, are you so perfect? Whenever you look at all the little black rock on everybody else's slogan, have a think about how beautiful his esrog is. Looking at certain aspects of his esrog that have something beyond what you have. And admit to yourself, he's governing money with every echad b'fachot. B'fachot. Somebody that you can respect, somebody that you can show cover to it, and have a guy, somebody that you can love. Somebody that you can incorporate into your ani, even if he feels a little different than you. Just to finish off with a story, and I'm sorry, I'm going a little over time. I'm sorry. There was a man named Gadol Eisner Zatzal. He's a big tzaddik. He was a chassid of the Ger Chassidus. He lived through the war, and he helped us reestablish Ger after the war in Eretz Israel. And he didn't used to talk about his experiences in the Shoah. He didn't like to talk about the horrors that he experienced, but whenever there was a Devar Musar that he took out of it, he would always say the story. If it's something that I took out of it, something that I learned from it, I'll share it with anybody. He was in Buchenwald, and they wanted to take them to another camp. The Allies were advancing, and they had them run 20 kilometers, whatever it was, they had them running, and obviously they were starving already. He said 14 kilometers in, he started slowing down. He couldn't do it. He starts slowing down, and a Nazi guard runs past him, comes back, says, what are you doing? He said, I can't run anymore. So the Nazi said, you can't? You don't want to. He took out his Luger. He started saying Shema Yisrael. And another Jew who he knew was running behind him. And all he said was, Gadol, Loif, run. And he said he started running. Just because a Jew said something to him from his back. And he said he learned two different things from that story. One, endless reservoirs of koach. Jews have so much more koach than they recognize, literally to the point where they think they have nothing left and there's still something there. And two, what brings out that koach? What brings out that techiyas amesim? Literally an encouraging word from another Jew. But despite the Gehenna surrounding them, for another Jew to take the time and the energy to try to be mechazek a chaver and try to tell him that he can do it, that literally can be mechayim nisim. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to be running, and there are going to be other people with different derachim in Yiddishkeit that you're passing by. And they're going to be schwapping a little bit and moving a little more slowly and lagging behind. And you have a choice in those moments to do one of two things. You can pick up your nose, make a snide comment, be arrogant that my derech is better, and that's why my esrog is better than his, and I'm able to make it, and he's not able to make it, because of all the different problems that I see, all the problems that I see, and go, off in a proof of gaiva and enjoy the rest of your life where Kadosh Baruch Hu is nowhere to be found. Or you can save life. You could stop and give him a little chizuk. You can kiss him on the forehead and remind him that he deserves kavod. And there was something special about him. Don't literally kiss him. That would be real gross. Tell a yid that there's something special about him instead of just running past him and insisting that you're better than him. Try to show him that there's certain kohos that he has that even you don't have. And maybe give him a little bit of insight from your own personal back, things that you found that worked when you were struggling. Instead of insisting that he should be in your dust because of his different derech that doesn't belong to you. I'm going over the time because of the matzah of Eretz Yisrael. I think it's important to talk about. And it relates very much to what we've been talking about the entire time. There's a comment to the Malbim that's been going around, and I think it's important to share. Kapitel Kof Chav Beis. Kapitel Kof says, Shalom Yisholom Yisholayim Yisholor Avayich Yisholom Bechir HaShavah Menasayich. When you ask for Shalom of Yisholayim, right, those who love it will dwell in serenity. The Malbim says, what's Pshat? He connects it back to earlier in the Kapitel, where we say that Yisholayim is the Nuya Ir Shechub Eliyachma. The ear that brings together all the disparate parts, all the shvatim of Klal Yisrael, can actually unite them together. Very much along the lines of what we've been describing the entire time. Yerushalayim is the central focus of Klal Yisrael. That's what makes us into one. It's mechaber us. If you want shalom Yerushalayim, shalom Yerushalayim, if you are requesting, what can I do? How can I help create peace in Yerushalayim? What can I do to establish serenity and peace in the Ir HaKadosh? How do I do it? The answer is Yisholor Avak. Those who love Yisholayim will dwell b'shava with each other, says the Ma'am. Only commotion tisha b'shalom ha'gviyah yishit yishit lo sheshlom atalo ima yivayim ha'kogos ha'shagviyah b'kushayim b'yish b'am shalom yach. The only way for there to be health for Yisholayim in peace is for all the different parts of the body to come together. Ki b'eis yasa piri b'neim az yabar ha'mavis rachmanu l'tzlan. At the time that there's period between Klal Yisrael, that's when Mavas comes. It's dependent upon you. Do you have Shalom with other Jews? You love Yerushalayim? You have a name, Shalom Pumimis, Bezekah, Shalom Yerushalayim. You showing respect for another Jew, you being Beshalva with another Jew, is the key to feel, to saving Yerushalayim. For Shalom to be able to be found in Yerushalayim, you need to express Shalva. You need to find the peace with every single other Jew. All the different parts of the group that you insist are not ani. Show a kavod. Try to love it as best as you can. Make it ani. Create that shalom. And that's when you have shalom for your shalom. Discuss that we become machped on guarding each other's kavod. We try to be machabed al chavirim. Kalash baruch hashim machped on the kavod of Christ. And the chil Hashem, all the narishkai, rachman atzlan, any of some of Yisrael are trying to harm Jews. Of course, that we close our mouths and hold back the impulsive, not well thought out comment of criticizing another Jew's derech. Kosh Baruch Hu should be so simpios about the beginning of Makatri Game. All those who are spreading all the lies and shekhar about Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, Kosh Baruch Hu should close their mouths permanently. The school says never passing a yid without giving him chizm, without trying to show him how special he is, without showing him that he's a beautiful yid with a beautiful esrog. Kosh Baruch Hu should give us chizm. Fulfill his promise to wipe away all the suffering of Christ. Kodesh, everybody.